to the Lord. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. 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 It's a quiet one. Father, we rejoice and give you praise and glory and honor, thanksgiving forevermore. We just love you, Lord, with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we love our neighbor as ourselves. Even though our neighbor doesn't love us, we love our neighbor because you have first loved us. We love because you first loved us. And Father, we just rejoice and thank you, Lord God, that you just allow us to come together and to sing and to glorify you and to open your word and to know exactly that you have already paid for all of our sins and you have come to demonstrate your love in us. And I just ask you, Lord God, just to reveal to us through Philemon, the book of Paul to Philemon, just your mercy and your grace and your loving kindness. Your loving kindness. We just love you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we had a beautiful Philemon. It's right after Titus and right before Hebrews. Yeah, he's a little fella. Just a little fella. One chapter. We'll be through with it. We'll be through with the whole book tonight. Well, we had a wonderful service for Barbara last, everybody, I think all you all were there. Wonderful service for Barbara this past, actually for Barbara's family. Barbara wasn't there. She was with Jesus. And it was great. It was a blessing. And we just were able to just minister to everybody as you were there, to what the Lord had done in her life and how much of a legacy she left so that others can continue. You know, people think, well, we weren't done yet. But God knows. Amen? God knows where every person was. Say every person who was waiting on Barbara to get recovered so they could have her back, so they could get back to their counseling. And God knew. Yeah, amen. And God knew that she was coming home. He wasn't surprised. You know, oh, my gosh, where'd you come from? This world has a lot of pain in it. Mm-hmm. That's right. She's done. Yeah, she's not a good woman, but... Amen. We don't even like to give people that much, amen? She was a blessing to us. She was a blessing to us. And as she decided to go home, she decided not to fight. She decided to go home. God loves us. Does an enemy come in with these things? Yeah. An enemy comes in with these things. But we also have a choice as well, amen? We can decide to fight and we can decide to go home. Barbara decided to go home. She was ready to go. She made that clear. She said, I'm ready. And so, again, God did not bring the sickness. God did not bring the sickness. But in certain cases, we don't. And we prayed. We prayed like the Dickens. But I don't know everything. One thing I do know is that Barbara's in heaven. Barbara's with Jesus. And her family is blessed, even though she's gone. They miss her. She has two children who are young. I mean, meaning not children, but they're young adults. And so we just know that God is going to manifest and provide. He's going to be with Dwayne. And he's going to provide for him, bless him. And again, we're not as those who have no hope. This life is what? A vapor. It's a breath. God is good. And we will see them again. Amen? Amen. This life is almost over. Amen? Jesus is coming soon. If not, in 20, 30, 40 years, we'll just be with Jesus. We'll be with Barbara. Maybe before that. Paul, a prisoner. My gosh, this guy was a prisoner. A prisoner of Jesus Christ. Oh, well, good. Okay, he's a prisoner of Jesus. Well, he's a prisoner of Jesus, but he's also a prisoner for Jesus. For the sake of, for the cause of Jesus Christ. And Timothy. So Timothy is with him. I don't think Timothy was a prisoner. I think he was with him visiting him. Timothy, our brother, writing to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. So Philemon is a fellow laborer. And also to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. So Apphia and Archippus apparently are married and have a church in their house. Got a house church. Pretty cool. And Philemon is a part of that group. Philemon is a part of that church. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always good how Paul is always going to impart to you grace and peace. Do you receive that tonight? Grace and peace. Not just, howdy, y'all, how you doing? Grace. Listen, grace. I'm talking to you. Grace and peace to you. Hey, are you receiving this? Grace and peace. Grace and peace to you, Dan. Grace and peace to you, Jack. Amen. Receive that. Yeah, amen. Grace and peace through Jesus Christ. He's just flowing out to you. He's giving to you. You receive it. Receive it as he's giving it. Amen? Amen. You just want to just, you know, receive it and just receive the blessing of God. We just receive it, Lord God, your grace and your peace. Because it's from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. Paul said, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Okay, so he says, I've heard of your love and faith. So your love and faith that you have in Christ Jesus has preceded, the reputation of it has preceded you. Because I've heard a lot. I've heard a lot of you. You know, I appreciate your ministry to the saints. That's what he's saying. I've heard how the Lord Jesus has just been manifest in you and you've been a blessing to all. That the communication of your faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. So as you are speaking to your neighbors and your friends and your business associates, you know, you see, the thing is, with all these people in the church in their house, I mean, you know, these folks, they were out just doing the daily business. Amen? They were just doing business. They were out doing the things that they do. You know, selling perfume and you know, doing marketing. You know, they had daily fellowship with those on the outside. They had daily fellowship with those just whom they came in contact with. Amen? Just as y'all do. I mean, that was the nature of their ministry, was to just be Jesus Christ. Where they live, where they operate in the marketplace, because that's where people are, right? And that's where people are 8 hours a day. Where are people? I mean, they're at home with their families in the evening. Certainly here after dark, you know, in these days, people pretty much just went home. They didn't have a lot of, I don't think they had a lot of bars and clubs open, a lot of sports grills, you know, open late. I think people just after dark, people just go home. Didn't have electricity. Had some gas lamps. But I mean, where did people have contact with one another during the day? Just in the marketplace. Just when you're doing business. That economy is the basis for ministry, isn't it? mean, why do you go talk to people? For what reason do you talk to people every day? Business, right? And so what's the most common place for evangelism? One-on-one. It's marketplace. You know, it's not Sunday night service. It's not, you know, synagogue. Everybody's a Jew. What kind of evangelism is that? Now, of course, you're evangelizing the Jews unto Christianity, you know, so that's one way of doing it. But most of the believers, whether they were Gentiles or Jews, had a bigger ministry to the marketplace, to those whom they came in contact with daily. That's it. That's where the gospel was preached. That the communication of your faith, or in some places it talks about here, it says fellowship of your faith, may become effective by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Hey, do you have to begin to know what Jesus Christ did in you? Amen? You got to know what he did in you. Why would anybody want to follow you? Why would anybody want to have what you got? Because you're grumpy? Because you're, you know, complaining? No, it's because people see that, my gosh, this guy is just radiant. He's joyful in the midst of every wicked thing. Everything that is just, I mean, it's a horrible day. Anybody have a horrible day in business? And you know what? The Holy Spirit just manages to overcome that, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Because you know who you are. I know whom I have believed. And he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know whom I believe. He's bigger than my failure. He's bigger than my enemies. Amen? He's bigger than my Christian friends. my mean Christian friends. He's bigger than all of them. And he's manifesting his love through me. And that's what he's saying about to Philemon here. Is that the communication of your faith may become effective as you acknowledge every good thing that he has put in you. As you're busy acknowledging the finished work of Jesus Christ in you. Amen? When you see ugliness in you, when you see retribution or anger or backbiting or wanting to get back at some business associate for some idiot thing that they did or something they stole from you, you begin to acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All of these things that the Holy Spirit has manifested on them, these things are in you. Amen? This is the fruit of the Spirit that prevails. That's the fruit of the Spirit that prevailed in Jesus. Amen? When he met someone, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was cursed, he didn't curse back. And it's not because you're good. It's because you're indwelt by the Holy One. Amen? And so you disagree with the old man, and you agree with the new man. That's how you do that, is to put on Christ. When he says putting on Christ, you're acknowledging every good thing that is in you, that might be in you, that should be in you. No, not that should. He didn't say that should be in you. He said that is in you. Have you acknowledged every good thing that's in you? Are you acknowledging daily the good thing that is in you? Do it. Repent. Amen? Repent. Stop acknowledging the stupid stuff. The only acknowledgement of that is called confession of sin. But this acknowledgement is saying, but Christ is in me. I know, I see this happen, this evil. Lord, that was wicked. Thank you for forgiving me. But I also thank you that here comes the acknowledgement. Here comes the repeating of what God says about me. Here's what I am. Here's who I am. And you cannot not do that and grow. You must continually acknowledge the good things that He has done in you so that you will grow. You will grow up into Him in all things. Amen? You're growing up. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Because you agree with Him. Amen? If you determine to disagree with Him, you will not grow. If you will acknowledge what He has said, He has done, you will begin to bring forth, like Philemon here. I heard of your love and your faith. Well, it's because Philemon agreed with what God said. But there apparently was a little blind spot. Anybody have any of those? Apparently had a little blind spot. I've got some of those, don't you? So let's talk about his blind spot. Philemon. Philemon. See, it's one of those mnemonic devices. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the bowels of the saints, the inner being of the saints are refreshed by you. In other words, people just love having you around. People just love having this guy around. Because he's just an encouragement. He's incredible encouragement. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin you that which is convenient, that which needs to be said. I'm going to step out on what I know the Lord has done in you to further encourage you. I'm going to be so bold as to bring this up. You know, it's like when John says to the church at Ephesus, he says, you know, you have been so, what a blessing you've been, but I have something against you. Remember when he said that? It's like, ooh. You know, and he's been such a blessing, but there's something that has to be dealt with. You know, you ever met somebody like that? It's just they're just what a blessing, but they got a blind spot. They've got a blind spot. You know, and most of them, when somebody's got a blind spot, we want to get them. It's like me when I hear like I want to show you something. I had a credit card payment that was made and didn't, and somehow another check got wrote out of that account, and there wasn't enough money in there. I had a little deal going with the bank that they'd cover things like that, but they didn't cover it if it was an electronic transfer. So I thought I was covered. Then I get a letter from the company saying, you know, hey, we never did receive that payment. And you know what credit cards are, you know. You had like a 5% interest rate and you missed this payment. It went up to 23.9%. From 5.9, you know, and, you know, yo, what's that? So, you know, it's like I have something against you. They had something against me, you know, and they punished me for it. I think they'll, you know, everything else is okay. So I think they'll take it back. I think they'll put it back. But what I'm saying is they had something against me. They came after me with a vengeance, you see. You see, he had something against this guy. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ, here I come, to enjoin you, to speak to you, to that which is convenient, that something needs to be said. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech you, being such a one as Paul the aged. Look, I'm older, I'm wiser. Just kind of put up with me. Listen to me. Let me give you some wisdom. I beseech you for my son, Onesimus, another fellow, whom I have begotten in my bonds. In other words, Onesimus was saved under Paul's ministry, at his prison. which in time past was to you unprofitable. Now apparently, in this history of this book, Onesimus was a slave to Philemon, who either escaped or left, or, you know, maybe he was on a, maybe he was sent on a on an errand, and he decided to just leave. So Paul says, I beseech you on behalf for my son Onesimus. So you can imagine, in that day, if you had a slave, he belonged to you. And if the slave left, well, you know, what does the it's like the slavery in the late 1800s or the 1800s here in the United States, is that, you know, you're such a wonderful Christian, but then when it came to your slaves, you were cruel in some cases. You know, you treated them like, you know, slaves. You know, how dare you leave me? You know, you don't have any right to run away. So you treat them differently. Of course, here in the scripture we see, you know, that it was an accepted practice, but Paul, even in that day, began to make inroads in developing relationship in the body amongst slaves and masters, making them brothers and sisters in the Lord. Making them those who would be co-workers together in under the same roof, rather than, or like sons and daughters, to a father, rather than a slave to a master. So here he begins to make that kind of a change with Onesimus and Philemon. He said, which in time past it was unprofitable to you, but now profitable to me, to you and to me. So in other words, he's changing the parameters. Paul is changing the relationship now. He says he's profitable to you and to me. Where in time past he was not profitable to you. He was unprofitable to you. He left you. You see what I'm saying? So Onesimus the slave ran away from Philemon, but he came upon Paul. He came to Paul. And Paul led him to the Lord. And then now Paul is saying he's profitable to you. And of course Philemon is probably going, yeah, right, nonsense. That guy's an escaped slave. I've got a price on his head. But I'm out here loving my neighbors. I'm out here loving all my... Everybody's speaking blessing and well of me. But here, I'm against this Onesimus, my slave. Now, see, this is something that the Holy Spirit does for us too, doesn't he? He shows us where we may be growing in several areas, but he's going to show us where we're missing it. Amen? So he's going to show us where he's going to kind of shave the hangnail off. He's going to fix something that we didn't see. And it may take a little bit of filing. It may take a little bit of hammering. It may take a little bit of sandpaper. It may take something to... It may not be comfortable. Verse 12. So, he's been unprofitable, but he's now profitable to you and to me, whom I have sent again. You therefore receive him. Now you imagine this, see. Paul says to Onesimus, I want you to go back to Philemon. I just got away from there. But he's sending him, and he's carrying this letter from Paul. It's kind of like package, you know, you're delivering yourself, and here's a letter about you. But you're delivering yourself over to your former master. This guy, Onesimus, has got to have some faith. You know who he reminds me of? Isaac going up with his father. You know when they'd go worship? You know they'd always take a lamb? This time they didn't take a lamb. They didn't take a lamb. Isaac knew what was up. Isaac knew what was up. And he went, didn't he? He went. So he says, verse 12, whom I have sent again back to you, you therefore receive him, that is, mine own son. Bowels, mine own bowels. That is, he's come out of me. He's my son. So, see, Paul talks about Onesimus now as his own son. So he's sending to Philemon, his friend, his son, Onesimus, who was Philemon's slave. Now, so it says, that receive him, that is, my own bowels, out of my own loins, whom I would have retained with me, I would have kept him, that in your stead he might have ministered to me. In other words, he would minister to me just as well and as blessedly as you would have. I have that much joy in him. I have as much joy in him as I have in you. Whom I would have retained with me, that in your stead he might have ministered to me in the bonds of the gospel. But without your mind, would I do nothing? In other words, without telling you, I'm not going to keep him. In fact, I'm going to send him back to you as a son in the Lord so that you can make this determination. I'm not going to hold him, send the letter to you and say, hey, I've got Onesimus. No, he in fact sent Onesimus back to Philemon. I mean, the guy could have just gotten mad and killed him. Good thing Onesimus probably was waving this big letter from Paul, you know, in front of him. So he would read the letter first before he saw him. Hopefully he had three or four guys in front of him, traveling ahead of him. You know, hey, here's a letter. Oh, who's that back there? Just read the letter. Just read the letter first. But without your mind, without knowing your mind, I would do nothing. That your benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. In other words, I wasn't just taking the guy, but you must give him to me. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that you should receive him forever. Perhaps it was the Lord that he departed from you, that you would receive him as a brother in the Lord forever. And now, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. Oh, how blessed was this transformation. A brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If you count me, therefore, as a partner, receive him as you would me. Now, somebody would say, well, this is a manipulative letter. I mean, Paul is kind of his pastor, and his pastor is kind of yanking his chain. Amen? I can see that. But no, see, that's not the case. The case is that if there is a real relationship, now this could be something like that, in the natural. It could be like, you know, your big hairy pastor, you know, is coming to you, you know, kind of putting the guilt trip on you. Oh, be good to this little boy here, this little young man, you know, or the rest of the church will be mad at you. You got to understand that this was the regular thing of the day. If a slave left, you could kill him. You know, you got to remember, Paul, this would be crazy talk. But you have to also know the love relationship that was between Philemon and Paul. And when Paul spoke to Philemon, he heard it. He heard his heart. And that's the kind of relationship that we have. Amen? Is that we can even speak hard words to one another and receive one another. Amen? And not be offended, but receive a hard word as a gift. Now, whether we agree with that hard word or not, we don't receive it as an attack. Amen? From someone we know who loves us. Amen? And then we take that word to the Lord. But here he says, verse 17, if you count me therefore as a partner, receive Onesimus as you would me. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. If he has wronged you or done anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand, and I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to you how you owe to me even your own self. I won't say how much you owe me. This is Paul. He's talking. This is what he's saying. He said, I won't say how much you owe me. I just won't bring that up. He's funny. Isn't he funny? That is funny. I won't say how much you owe me. Yea, brother, let me have joy of you in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I wrote to you, knowing that you will also do more than I say. In other words, Paul is so confident with Philemon that he's just like, I know just because I've asked, you'll do it. Because you hear me. You hear me. But meanwhile, prepare me also a lodging. For I trust that through your prayers I shall be given to you. Therefore, salute you, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. What strikes me here is the intimacy of this letter. Amen. It's just an intimate letter amongst Paul to a brother. And that he is sharing his heart with him. It's a personal, private letter. But it's such a demonstration of the respect and the honor that this man has for Paul, and that Paul, and the love that Paul has for he and also those whom he has begotten as sons in the Lord. And this is really true. Pastoring is that we grow one another up. Amen? That we are encouraging and building one another up. That's our life. That's our whole life. Again, it's in the marketplace. It's in our daily life and existence, is these kinds of relationships. This is where these are done. It's not just the pastor in the church. But it's these kinds of relationships that we have that, again, back over here in the first part of the chapter, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. In other words, it's just a joyous fellowship that we have with one another, encouraging one another and building up one another in the Lord. And we just remember these things. That's the thing. It's just always remembering these things. Bringing these things, Father, to our remembrance. Bringing these things to our remembrance. That we don't just get caught up in the events of the day and the hardships of the day and the things that people do and the things that people say. Because those things that people do and say are just born out of the world. Amen? They're just born out of the world. But we have been changed. We've been changed. We demonstrate by our faith toward Jesus Christ the manifestation of love, which the world looks at and goes, huh? I mean, it's tilt. They just don't get it. They can't imagine how you can forgive. They can't imagine how you can walk in love. They say, man, you're crazy. What's the matter with you? Somebody will slap you. Are you an idiot? Are you an idiot? I mean, you know, why would you let anybody do that? It's nothing. It's like Jesus, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was cursed, he didn't curse back. We forgive them. Forgive them and continue to love them. Amen. That's right. And it shows up. Jesus did. You can't make, yes, you are. Now you know you're already Jesus now. He's in you to will and to do. Yeah, even that. When he was cursed, he didn't curse back. You don't have to receive it. That's right. You don't have to receive it. But what you do. What about him? That's psychology. That's baloney. That's fine. Yeah, people make those up. What it is because you make those up to protect yourself. People make those up to protect. It's made up. Yeah, that's when he's wicked. He's protecting himself when he's wicked. Did Jesus protect himself? Yeah, that's untrue. You are filled with the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. No, you're not Jesus, but you're filled with the same Spirit. Amen. See, that's what we want to do. We want to make Jesus less powerful. Then for you, he is able. He is able to overcome every obstacle, every word that's set up against you in condemnation. You cast that down. Oh yeah, he was a great doormat. People hated him. Didn't use it.
I'm not sure.